Welcome back to Roaming with Restless Women. Today I have Karen Schultz-Turnipaul, the founder of Heirloom Consulting. She started her company after years of working in estate administration and real estate, where she witnessed over and over again just how overwhelming it is for the people left behind after the loss of a loved one. Basically, to keep everything together, put things back together, work out the estate details, etc. There's grief, of course, but on top of that, grief is a mountain of work. Handling property, paperwork, decisions, deadlines, it's a lot. It's a lot. And it often lands on the shoulders of the people who are already stretched thin, caring for their own kids, aging parents, managing careers and lives of their own. Karen's been there too. She knows what it's like to be in the fog of loss while trying to handle things that feel urgent, confusing, and never-ending. That's why she and her team show up, not just with expertise, but with heart. They meet their clients wherever they are in the process, whether that's at the very beginning or somewhere in the thick of it, and help them move through it with clarity and peace of mind. At Heirloom Consulting, they create a safe space for people to take a breath, lean on them, and know that they're in good hands because no one should have to carry the burden alone. Sounds like a lot of heart to me, Karen. So why don't we start out? Well, first of all, welcome,
Thank
number
you.
one.
Thank you. Yeah.
And second of all, why don't we start out by sharing? You say you've been through it. So tell us that story and then tell us how you got your company started.
Thank you. Well, thank you for having me. You're so lovely.
Oh, thank you.
So I actually have a couple of stories. My father died when I was 10. And my mother was not prepared with three kids. So that was the beginning of my journey, I believe, because I saw how unprepared she was and she didn't have the help she needed. And so that was the first time I came across this, this concept in my life. And then I had a daughter who was stillborn, and I had my whole life planned and everything. I was, on to the next phase of my life. And I was in the fog for a year. I
Oh, I'm
couldn't do
sure.
anything more than get up, shower, walk my dog, and journal. Those were my goals for every day. And I kind of just let myself go through that in almost an observatory way, just to sort of be like, let me just see what I need to do to get through this in a graceful way, in a way that respected myself, and so on. And I didn't work. I just couldn't. I could not. I tried to get a job and I cried at the job. It was interesting looking back, that I tried to push myself a little here and there. And there were some things I had to decisions I had to make. Simple things like, oh, should I hold her before they take her away? Where should we bury her? And I know that sounds all doom and gloom, but she was the greatest gift of my whole life, believe it or not. And so I have been in those different situations. And then I have clients who I just watch go through these situations. And they just are so grateful that we're there, and they cry when they see me. And it's just such a beautiful thing, actually doing work that is helping people,
Oh,
which brings me
100%.
to why I do this. So I spent a lot of time working for other people. Brilliant people taught me so much. I'm so grateful to them. But at the end of the day, there was always this limit to what I could do with my life. And, there was a layoff in 2008 from a giant bank. Okay, not my fault, but put me in a very bad situation. Then I had a boss more recently who cut our hours in half. Again, not my fault, but it was my situation, and I had to deal with half my pay, so things like that. So I finally decided, okay, you have enough experience. You have more experience than most people. And the combination of my experience, which is estate administration and real estate, very few people have that. So I just decided to throw caution to the wind and just start my own business. And it's been great. I mean, The difference between working for somebody else and helping one person and helping a bunch of people is a huge difference.
A
So.
100%. So went into your business, it sounds like it was a pretty big risk.
It
So
was.
how did you have to change your mindset? What did you do to talk yourself into it, if I can?
Well, I wrote my business plan 4 years prior. So it was
Okay.
years of talking myself into it. I have 2 sons who are in college, and I had responsibilities to help them get through college financially and, just trying to do all the right things. And when this particular boss cut our hours and our pay, I happened to be talking to my ex-husband of all people. And he said, "Listen, I have space at my house, move in." And my lease was up. So the timing was perfect. I moved in with him for a
Wow.
year, which is crazy. But we're friendly. And he had tons of room in his house. And last week, I moved out to my own apartment. So it was just a year, but it got me where I needed to go. And I let some of my credit go because I just knew that I had to make some major decisions that, yeah, it's going to affect me and my credit, but in the long run, I have so much more to give and so much more potential that it will work itself out. And I'm not worried about that. So it was not easy, but it's worth it. I can see it already. I mean, just the look on my clients' faces, it's worth it. So.
It's worth it. So, how do you find your clients?
Gosh, we get a lot of referrals from lawyers. We get a lot of referrals from clients, and I'm in some women's business groups, so we get some business from that. And then we also go to we sponsor some different events where lawyers learn the lawyer education type things. So we meet a ton of lawyers, and it's just interesting where the business comes from and the type of business that comes to you. Like I said, I had this business plan and it was sort of this very linear, this is what we're going to do. And literally everything is adjacent. Everything that comes to us is adjacent to my business plan. So, we just go with it and we learn as we go if we don't know. And we have great resources and people we work with and a very good team. So it has really worked out interestingly. So.
What has been the biggest challenge for you in starting your own business?
I think I've been an employee for so long that I'm a task person. I do the task. Give me a task, I will master that task and I will make you very happy and make you money. Being your own boss, there's that plus everything else, so the marketing and the QuickBooks and all the little extra things that you're up till midnight doing. I'm not great at all that, right? So thankfully, I have a son who's great at marketing and branding and PR and all that wonderful stuff. He's just great at it. And then I have another son who's great with the real estate and different things like that. So, just bringing in other people. But I think the hardest thing is to always be marketing because once you get the jobs, I should say, we got this enormous job that took us 6 months, believe it or not, to liquidate an estate with collections of sports and police badges, all these crazy things. Thankfully, my sons love sports, so that helped. But it took 6 months to liquidate this estate. And so we were so busy doing that that, maybe we weren't marketing as much or, building in other ways and, getting out there and being out there. And sometimes I'm an introvert, so I, don't always want to network and I don't always want to do those things.
Oh, I think a lot of us have that, even if we're not introverts. It's tough, emotionally tough to get out there and meet new people and figure out, do we have a match here? Do I offer something that you need? Do you know someone who might need all of that? It feels funny. And if you're not in the right mind space of here's how I help people, not please God buy my business. You have to have the right mindset because otherwise you become the icky salesperson,
Yeah.
and none of us want that.
No, you know what? I always think of it like this because I was in sales for a really long time. I had this great sales leader. I always just feel like I'm making a new friend. You know, sometimes I'm helping
Yep.
them, sometimes they're helping me, sometimes they know a cousin or an uncle, whatever.
Yeah.
So I never go into it thinking, oh, I really hope they refer me because it just doesn't work like that. You set yourself
No.
up. But you're always
No.
meeting new people and you never know who they know. And maybe you are the person really helping them. Who knows?
Yeah, at one point I actually put on a sticky note on my window. I face a window at my desk and it says, "I am the right person for someone."
Yeah.
And it's the finding that someone that is sometimes hard, but it's also kind of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah.
absolutely.
I always say to my team, you just do the steps, right? You show up, you meet new people, you do the marketing, you do these things, and the work shows up. You know, the people are there. There's no question. People are dying every day. There's people who
Yeah.
So if we're just always doing the right things and coming from the right place with integrity and, you know, just caring about people, like who's the next person we're going to help? It just will come, you know, but then there's those low moments and you're like, oh no, where's the business going to
Oh man. Well, I know that several groups that I'm in that are kind of mastermind sharing with each other. We're in the same business. We share with each other. A lot of them this year in particular have said it's really rough out there right now because of the economy is so uncertain. Companies aren't wanting to hire me as an external person because they're not sure if they want to do the project or not, because they don't know what's going to happen, or they can't even imagine what's going to happen. Have you run into any of those things, or is your business pretty much immune to that kind of stuff?
You know, that's a really good question. What surprises me truly is that people never question my fees. And that was my biggest fear. There are people with money. And I think we get really caught up on people don't have money, people, the economy, these different stories we tell ourselves. And I fall into it too. But in the reality, there are plenty of people with money and there's plenty of companies with money. I mean, look at these giant companies out here. And so I have been surprised. And then clients will give me like double pay or different things just for
Wow,
fun.
that's oh, that's
Yeah.
amazing.
Yeah. So I've had some really good surprises in the opposite, not at all expected. I met this man from Chicago who bought some cars for me in this estate liquidation. And he just gave me all this money just because he was dying, believe it or not. And he's like, I have to give away my money because my estate's going to be taxed and I would love to give you some money. And I was like, what? Like, it just
Oh,
like, out
wow.
of nowhere.
How
So,
beautiful.
yeah. So I think it's so easy to get caught up in that. You know, the economy and the world and the blah, blah, blah.
It
But,
is.
you know, we just got to get, you know, focused on what our mission is, you know, and keep going.
Absolutely. Well,
Yeah.
thank you for that because I have been, hearing so much of it that I was starting to believe it myself. And actually, I've said it myself because I have run into this situation,
Yeah, you can.
particularly with companies, not wanting to start big projects. And I d my livelihood depends sometimes on those big projects so that I can, have kind of like that bread and butter client.
Yeah,
The big one.
I do. Yeah.
It's harder to put together all the
Yeah,
little ones.
yeah,
But
yeah.
hey, it's like you said, in entrepreneurship, it's up and down. It's up and down. You have to ride that and you have to be good with riding it. So tell me about a particularly challenging client that you've had or an estate. You've mentioned the one with the sports things, but what else?
You know, in our business, it's always a learning curve, right? Because every estate and every family and every person you work with is unique. Their assets are unique. Their story is unique. Their family is unique. Their fighting style is unique. Every single thing is new, right? So, for instance, learning about police badges. I'm like, we had to go to police shows, and we had to, so every single thing you do, we have one right now that is this beautiful glass art. Well, now we have to learn about glass art because that's the collection in front of us. But we couldn't possibly know everything, right? I mean, we're very good at researching and figuring these things out, but every single thing is new. And the emotions of people, sometimes you have 2 hours allotted to a client and they're crying and they need to cry it out. So you have to adjust. So I think that's the biggest challenge is just to always be kind of the person in front of you that needs you, be the person they need versus, okay, on to the next, on to the next. Okay, what's next? So.
Well, that speaks to what you were saying about your company that it has the heart. It's not like you're dealing with a by the hour kind of thing. Although you have to obviously price your projects, still, I think allowing that client, whoever they are, like in my situation, they could be upset because they didn't get a raise or they didn't get promoted or they want to do something and they're scared to retire, et cetera. So lots of risks, et cetera. When you're dealing with an individual, you never know exactly everything that's going on with them. You get the slice that they hired you for. But if you're a really good consultant, coach, advisor, as you are, you're going to dig a little deeper just so that you can have more of a way to help them, outside of the tick this, tack that, right?
I also have some senior clients that I advocate for, and I'll go to lawyer meetings with them or financial advisor meetings or help them with their finances, setting up online accounts and on their phones and spreadsheets and different things like that. And I really love working with them. To me, they're my favorite clients because they're so grateful. They just aren't great with technology and they really need you. So it's been interesting, though. Excuse me, the range of people who come into your life when you're there. You know what I mean? They never would have met me 6 months ago or 2 years ago. You know what I mean? So it's been
It
really
is
special.
being someone that's right at the cusp of boomers and Xers. I didn't start using computers for anything really until my first job out of college. And, I had to teach myself everything. But I'm not a digital native like those who grew up with technology. And it is kind of scary because I think you just don't want to appear stupid or dumb or whatever in front of your younger colleagues. And that's a big thing that I help my senior women leaders with is listen, you don't have to know everything. Find somebody that you can partner with and set up a co-mentorship, set up a reverse mentorship.
Oh, that's a
You
great
can
idea.
mentor them, with your many years of politics in the corporate office, maybe your depth of expertise in a particular area, things you've done before that don't work, or things that you've done before that were great and they can improve on it, and then let them mentor you from a technology perspective or a social media perspective. There's a lot that we can share with each other, I think.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Well, I
Oh, share
think,
that with people. Let's get
well,
after
you're using, not using, but you're partnering with your sons early on. And every so often, I partner with my daughter and her husband because they have the kind of skills that I don't either. So, and they're a great test market for younger generations,
and
So,
they're
what?
brutal.
Yeah, they are brutal. They are brutal. So, what's next for you?
That's a good question. We're always just trying to figure out exactly what will be, make us happy to wake up in the morning. In fact, I send my team homework every week. They hate it, but I send it every week. And this week was, what are the things that we do that make you really happy, that will make you want to get out of bed every day? And I haven't gotten their homework back yet, but we'll see what they say. But I really want them to be invested. Neither of them expected to be in this business right out of college. They both had their other ideas. But it just kind of fell into their laps and they're like, oh, okay, let's do this,
Why not?
So
As long
I
as you
think they
pay me,
really,
I can do it.
right. You pay me better than the other companies out there, so let's
There
go.
you go.
But I was going to tell you, I run into a lot of women who are like us, excuse me, who have spent many, many years in their industry and they are experts and they fear going out on their own. And it's so funny because we're so seasoned and talented and smart. And anybody would be lucky to have our generation guiding them along as a
100%.
consultant or kind of thing. And they're just so scared to do it. And I think, oh my gosh. And even women with who have the financial backing of their husband and years of clients who they know will come with them, they still have that fear. And I think, why? Why do we have this fear making this huge decision that benefits us and literally everybody we touch? But it's we get so stuck in our 9 to 5 vibe that we have, so crazy.
Well,
So
I
I'm
think,
grateful to you because they need you.
oh, thank you. Well, that there, I think the fear is the fear of, for me, I didn't have a choice. I got laid off during COVID and I said, screw this. I'm going out on my own. Because frankly, I don't like the uncertainty that comes with working with a corporation that could literally just decide you're not worth it, or they don't want your job anymore, or they're gonna, cut off this whole division that you're part of. It became more likely than not over the last, 15, 20 years. I've been laid off 4 times in my career. And none of them were for performance. It was all for, okay, we're getting rid of this job, or we got COVID and we're losing business, or whatever the case may be. And it used to be a much bigger stigma than it is now to have been laid off. Now, if you haven't been laid off, you probably, you probably aren't very ambitious. So you're one of those heads down, nobody notices you people. So, now it's a badge of honor, in my opinion, to get laid off because you've been building your career, moving and shaking. You've been looking around. You've been paying attention to your industry and to your market. And, it's tough. It's scary as hell. But it's worth it in the end, I think.
It builds humility like nobody else.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. You realize really quickly. You're not nearly as accomplished in some areas as you thought you were. But what that does, though, I don't know about you, but it drives me to go learn new stuff. I'm constantly learning, and it's not for somebody else. It's for me and my business. So,
I love learning. I can never learn enough.
oh, yeah.
Just interesting, you know what I mean? Like, what do you have to lose by learning something new?
Well, and there's no excuse when you can go on, on YouTube and pretty much learn anything. There's really no excuse. There's so much out there to learn. So, yeah. So it sounds like you're on the right trajectory and you've got your company going. Is there anything you want my audience, our audience, to know about what they can do to get ready? Their estate's ready, or what can they do to make it easier when someone that they love passes and they're the executor or the family member or whoever?
I would say the main thing, we do something called legacy planning, which is planning people's ending long before they die, right? So we have this questionnaire 16 pages long, and it has all their assets and all their decisions and everything they're going to do, so that when they die, everything's laid out, all their account numbers, their beneficiaries, everything they need, because that's the biggest time killer. When you die, your family has to start digging through the treasure to find all your information. And oh, by the way, they don't have your passwords to your online account, and they don't know who your beneficiaries are. You may have told them, but you might have changed their mind because they weren't good one day, So, getting rid of extra stuff, books, get rid of your books. If you're not using them, donate them somewhere. Just nobody wants to schlep your books out of that house when you die. Your clothes too, right? Just going through all your stuff and just really thinking, okay, when I die, do I want my family to have to deal with this mess? And really think of it like that, because you are dumping a giant burden on your family when you die if you are not organized and you don't have everything in order. So I think that's the biggest thing. Like, we're always trying to help the trustee after you die. And so we try to always work with people in advance, so they don't ever get to that point. So, yeah, I mean, just staying organized and on top of your stuff, it's really the best advice.
Well, and also I would add to that, your digital assets, because it's not just the stuff around you, but the longer we're, the more savvy we're getting. I have digital assets that are part of my company and part of, I've built them, they're relative. I mean, they're valuable to somebody, probably not to a whole bunch of people, but where do I have an Instagram account? Well, let's get that shut down. Do I have a all of that stuff? You have to be able to pull your data down and get rid of that too, or store it, or do everyone, but we forget about that. But
There's so many.
there's
Like,
so many.
subscription to, I don't know, a gym club. You know what I mean? Like, there's so much for a trustee or a personal rep to do that I think people don't understand that. And so that was the other thing I was going to say, is when you're choosing your fiduciaries, like your executor or trustee, whatever you call them in your state, think about that person. Like, is that person really going to have the bandwidth to spend 400 to 500 hours on your life after you die? While they're grieving you, they love you, they're missing you, and now they're in this brain fog trying to figure out your life, and you didn't leave it organized, so they don't know what you have. So really think about, like, who is this person I'm leaving? Maybe somebody who's, outside the family, maybe a better choice, who's not
Yeah,
so
that's a good
involved with your
idea.
grief. And a lot of times you'll have an elderly couple and they'll leave their spouse. Well, that spouse is also 80 and grieving, lost her best friend, and you want her now to, or him, to go ahead and, unravel this life of yours. And oh, by the way, you didn't share all your financial information.
Of course
So
not.
he handles everything for me. Worst thing anybody has ever said in the world. Never let a man handle everything. Know your finances. That's my other advice. Know
Yeah,
what you have. You don't
exactly.
know.
Oh,
Dad died at
100%.
37. You don't know.
Exactly. Either one of you. Okay, that's perfect. Okay, I have three questions that I ask at the end of every interview. First one, need you to close your eyes. And in your mind's eye, describe what appears when I say wise woman.
Queen. Just a queen with
Okay.
a crown. Smart. But loving.
Oh, okay. Where do you like to roam?
I love to paddleboard. This quiet river by us. It's like a 3-hour paddle, and it's so quiet and peaceful. I love it.
And you can just think,
Or
oh,
not think,
or
even
breathe.
better. There's little animals darting out everywhere.
I love that. And final question, what makes you restless but in a good way.
Knowing there's so much to do in the world and so many people who need help and not finding them, not getting there. Yeah, I worry that I'm not going to do everything I need to do in this world before I go. That really keeps me up at night.
Oh my goodness. I think you're going to do exactly what you need to do before you go. And you're not going to go for a long time. So there
That's
you
true.
go.
That's true.
Oh, well, Karen, this has been lovely. You have given us some really
Thank
great
you.
wisdom and knowledge and ideas to think about, as we prepare the ends of our lives. Hopefully, we're not dwelling on the ends of our lives, but at least, we could be prepared for them for sure. How can people get a hold of you if they want to talk with you about your services?
Our website is heirloomconsultants.com, and my phone number is 248-763-7970.
Okay.
Those are probably the two best ways.
Okay.
Things on our website, but
Well,
yeah.
that
But don't
sounds great.
stay up
I'll
at
put all
night.
that. Yeah.
Let me just say, don't stay up all night. The thing is to get it organized so that you can sleep. You don't have to
Yes.
worry about it.
Sounds good. I love it.
Yeah.
Okay. Guys, you need to get a hold of Karen and her company. If you need help getting everything organized, getting tips, or if you have lost someone and you are finding yourself in the fog, overwhelmed, trying to grieve, and you need some help with getting everything in order. Thanks for watching today, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Julie.
Thank you.